podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
These games aren't easy. I'm appreciative of the players and coaches fighting and till the very end, to the literally the very end.
Montgomery back in, and here's Montgomery breaking a couple of tackles and winds up with a first down and a touchdown.
WGN Radio presents Hogan Johns.
We have guys that fight. It's not where we want to be. It's not acceptable. We know that, but we're going to learn from this.
Trubisky completes the pass to Riley Ridley, and the Bears get a big play from Trubisky, and the kick is solid. Eddie Pinheiro.
With WGN's Adam Hogue.
You smell like a winner.
Bing, 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 bing.
And from The Athletic, Adam Johns.
I'm rich and I'm dead, dead, dead.
Here they are, the Adams.
I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Hogan Johns.
And in some ways, a perfect way for a mediocre 8-8 season to come to an end.
You know, some were arguing in the press box that a missed field goal would have been the most appropriate fitting ending to this, but Eddie Pinheiro's on his game now, everybody.
Well, if they had missed this, that one, Nagy would have been crushed for not taking the touchdown that the Vikings tried to give to him. I maintain that's the right strategy. I mean, that's an extra point. You got to trust your kicker to make it. But I do, okay, I can
time management.
I can certainly listen to an argument that points are points, and if they're giving them to you, you take them.
Yes.
So
and I'm kidding. Yes, that would have been an awful way for them to finish the season. But you're right. 8-8 just seems perfect for what they are this year.
Yeah, exactly what they are. They didn't live up to expectations, but they're also far from a horrible team, which we've seen in the past in Chicago, and we've seen elsewhere in the league right now. And I also will subscribe to some of the theory you heard Mitch talk about a little bit after the game today. There's a fine line between winning and losing in the NFL, and a lot of times you aren't that far away. But I still think when you look at this offense, they have a lot of work to do going forward.
Well, yes. The defense, I don't want to say for the most part, because the takeaways aren't there, though we saw them today. The sacks aren't there. The certain finish on plays isn't there. But they're still statistically like one of the top five scoring defenses in the league. So they hovered around where they are in some meaningful statistical categories, as they were last year. But the offense taking the steps back, your quarterback taking the steps back this year from what they did last year, significant.
Hey, don't look now, but Eddie Pinheiro won a fourth of the Bears' games this season. Well, a fourth of their wins, he won them. Does that make sense?
I don't know. Try it again.
A fourth of the Bears' wins came on the leg of Eddie Pinheiro.
Much better. Well done.
How about that? Welcome in our last go-around of the season, our last post-game episode of 2019, this time from U.S. Bank Stadium. What a great stadium this is. It's excellent.
It's like every time you come here, you say this. It's been, what, 3 years in a row now?
It's been like 3 days.
It's a beautiful place. It's massively beautiful.
our friend Mark Potash tweeted before the game with a picture. It's about time Chicago got one.
He's
of
not
those.
Wrong.
Oh, he's definitely not wrong. Not wrong.
They may be the most accurate thing he's ever put on Twitter.
you might be right there. But here we are. The season is over. The Bears do get a victory, 21-19. Certainly not making it easy this afternoon here in Minneapolis. Adam Hogue and Adam Johns. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, Hoge. At Adam Johns, JAHNS. You can kind of scroll back through our in-game tweets for some other reaction. Also, everything we write is online at WGNradio.com/Bears. That's where you can read me. And The Athletic is where you find Johnsy, TheAthletic.com, The Athletic app. It's all up there. We appreciate you listening all season long. Really, truly, we do. And we know the season wasn't what you wanted it to be. But it's always fun to talk football with you guys. So, I think we all wish we were covering a playoff game next week. That's not the case. And unfortunately, we just sort out these games. And what's coming up ahead, we'll continue to do that in the coming weeks. Today, it's about a really sort of an odd game with an odd baseball score at sometimes. I was amazed at how much this game played out exactly like the Chargers game earlier this season.
Oh, the missed opportunities in the red zone, settling for field goals.
Couldn't get it in the end zone. you settle for 3 field goals, which is exactly what you had at halftime against the Chargers. The only difference was this time around you also had the safety. Then you had the first drive of the third quarter. Matt Nagy says, screw it, we're running the ball. Run. David Montgomery, run.
10 yards a pop.
This is exactly what happened in the Chargers game. That's the first time this season that they really went heavy on that I formation, and it worked, and they scored. And so you had a lead. You finally seemed like you had a little bit of rhythm going offensively. And what happened? Matt Nagy got away from it. And the other team came back and took the lead after Mitch Trubisky sack fumble. And it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
This whole thing. And then it came down to an Eddie Pinheiro field goal. Just like the Chargers game. The difference is this time he made it.
It was a chip shot as opposed to, what was that distance again?
40.
41, I believe.
Yes.
41. This one was a 22-yard field goal. Easily. There was a bad snap, too, for Patrick Scales to Pat O'Donnell. We have to give O'Donnell credit for getting it down. I thought the Vikings, and yes, they weren't playing a lot of their regulars, although some of these guys are rotational pieces, like your guy Ifeadi. Say his last name for me.
Ifeadi Odenigbo.
Odenigbo, Northwestern, or the pride of Northwestern. He played great, but he's part of the Vikings rotation. So they're backups, but not total backups. Does that make sense? Not like they're playing
third
stringers.
Throughout the game who was playing. He mostly was all backups.
Yeah.
Ifeadi's just one of those backups that's earned his way into the rotation.
They played hard, the Vikings.
Yes.
Like, they stuck it to the Bears a few times.
Well, the one thing about this is the guys that are playing are getting their opportunity.
Yes.
And they're all playing for money.
Right.
And they're all playing for more playing time.
Yes.
So
you can make the argument. I was thinking this throughout the game. Like, I didn't tweet once throughout the game. Not once. Not one tweet. That the Vikings backups actually have more to play for than your Khalil Max, Leonard Floyd's, Cody Whitehair's, James Daniels of the world, right?
I could see that.
These guys are starters. Some of these guys are making business decisions on snaps every now and then. They're avoiding certain levels of contact. Or on the other hand, these guys are going all out and trying to beat you. Now, I think maybe that balances out after a while. Talent does, you know, make a difference in the end. But, you know, I thought the Vikings played hard, and they really stuck it to the Bears at several times in this game.
By the way, your guy, 52, barely made the stat sheet again.
Again? Yeah.
One tackle. And it came in the fourth quarter. So that's unfortunately become too big of a theme in the really second half of the season.
Yes. Not good. Not good. You know, like in hockey, when the playoffs end, that your star players will somehow reveal that they've been dealing with an injury that requires surgery. But I just feel like football is different. Like, you have a week to rest these guys, a week to treat these guys. He's not shown up in the injury report once, I think, all year.
No, I haven't seen it.
So you wonder what's going on there. Like, you would think this is a game against backup offensive tackles. In some instances, left one-on-one against these guys. Talking about getting an evaluation, you would think the Vikings were looking for that today.
But remember,
Mac didn't beat them.
But remember, the injury report, you only get listed on the injury report if you don't practice 100% of the normal reps. So it's possible he could be dealing with something that's affecting him when you're going live on Sundays that he can still practice with. And he likes to set an example. He never likes to sit out.
Yeah.
I know.
It's an opportunity to rest the guy.
Sure.
Still is.
Sure. I mean, how many practices did Julius Peppers used to sit out?
A lot, I remember.
Didn't he have Wednesdays off every week or Thursdays or something?
Yeah, veteran days.
Like every single week.
Yeah.
He was just
the that team was different. Like, Lance Briggs was a notoriously bad practice player, but he was a prime time gamer when the lights came on.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? This, I feel like looking back on this game that I, for the most part, looked at this as a pretty negative performance overall. Even when they had the lead, it was like they still couldn't really move the ball offensively, and it was against backups. And I realize those backups are all playing hard, but it's still second, third stringers for the most part. And the fact that your starting offense is still struggling, couldn't get in the end zone, you're in the red zone, you can't get it in, you're settling for field goals. That was disappointing. And then even defensively, maybe there was a little bit of just sometimes going through the motions a little bit. But this
There was a few instances of that.
Well, this is a defense that hadn't allowed a 40-yard run all season, and they allowed two today.
The first play from scrimmage. How big was that hole?
Big.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. Now, to be fair, and I don't want to come off like I'm making excuses, I think we might be guilty of already overanalyzing what this game was.
Sure.
Yes, yes. Maybe it's time to move on after my next answer here. But
and by you, you're talking about me.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. Yeah, yeah. Let's not overthink what we watched here today.
That's
like
fine.
Again, I did not tweet once purposely throughout this game. Well, I may notice, you know, as watching this, at one point, the Bears were down to Ted Larson at right guard, who's like your third string right guard, Cornelius Lucas. Alex Barr's like your extra lineman. He's out there in like a run-heavy package. Jesper Horsted can't block on a wide receiver screen. You're throwing passes to Riley Ridley and Javon Wims. Ryan Nall is getting a carry.
Yeah.
Like, the Bears were down to some guys who I don't think are going to be on the active roster come next year. Just saying. But let's not...
It's ugly.
They won ugly.
I'm willing to take that approach with the defense. I still think offensively what you saw today was a lot of the same stuff, and the fact that it came against backups is concerning.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think the Bears would have loved to see Cleo Mack control this game like he should have, and he didn't for whatever reason. Like, Leonard Floyd, let's get to the quarterback. You're going against backups. Where are you? You know, Nick Wachowski was everywhere. Kevin Pierre-Louis, I think, played another solid game.
Floyd had a couple nice runs.
Yeah, he came on at the end, yes.
But, yeah, all right, maybe we shouldn't overanalyze the whole thing too much. I just they got some things that they got to figure out offensively, and maybe we switch the conversation more big picture. I know I kind of hinted at this during the week in our podcast, but I am genuinely perplexed with the best thing to do with the quarterback spot. And it might be one of those things where you just got to feel how the offseason's going. I don't know. Mitch again today, I would say uneven. And yet, once again in the fourth quarter, they need a throw. It's 4th and 9, and he gets out of the pocket, uses his athleticism, and makes a perfect throw. It's a throw he should make.
Yep.
But he still did it. He still came up with the play you need in the fourth quarter.
Yep. Now, I'm writing this for tomorrow. I use the word talented tease, or I'm gonna expand it. A talented, tantalizing tease who continues to do this to you, right? And that's why you got to have this extremely honest and candid evaluation of what he is. Yes, you love that he could do that in those moments. But sometimes he's in those moments because all the moments he blows before that moment.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes,
he's not consistent enough.
And when I tweeted about his fourth quarter heroics, that's a frequent response I got, and it's completely fair. Part of the reason they need that play at the end is because he put them in that position.
Yes. Now you still like to see that.
Yeah.
These games are not going to go perfectly. They never do. And sometimes even when you're playing well, you're going to be in a shootout, and you're going to be in those moments. You're going to need to make those plays. So you like that from him. But the ups and downs, ebbs and flows, the erratic footwork or the erratic decision-making, that's where the Bears have to be thorough. They have to be honest. They have to be I'm looking for a better word here, but like, you have to be so – like, you're searching your soul almost on this because of how much you've invested in this kid.
Well, that's the problem. There's numerous problems. One is that you have to make a decision on him, if not this offseason, next offseason for sure, because then he's out of contract if you don't, you know, extend him beyond that with even the fifth-year option. So we're getting into crunch time where you have to, like you just said, be honest and be honest about what you have. And I think the question is, do you feel like you have a good enough defense and enough pieces around him and good enough coaching that you can move forward in a competitive window with a guy who's going to be inconsistent? Sometimes look great, and sometimes make you want to pull your hair out. Good thing Matt Nagy doesn't have any left. Or is that not good enough in today's NFL, and you need to make some kind of bold move to strive for better than that?
Right.
And the problem with that, though, is you don't have the draft capital. The only thing you can do is basically go out and pay for Teddy Bridgewater, or there's already tweets after the game that Phillip Rivers is not retiring. And do the Chargers want to go forward with him? And does it make any sense to sign, what is he, 38? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I'm just saying that's the kind of discussions that the Bears need to be having here in the coming months.
Well, looking statistically at Phillip Rivers' season, I'd almost say no. Right, Father Time comes and hits you hard. And what type of investment are you going to make? Like, when is the? We talk about these price points that Ryan Pace sets on certain players. Like, what's the price point on the court? Like, $16 million was for Mike Lennon. Do you have $19 million to pay Phillip Rivers?
But $16 million was before he really had the core of players that he knows he has to pay here.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Like,
I
already
know.
Looking at Nick Kwiatkowski and all these plays he's made, I actually wrote this down as something I want to mention. Hub Arkish had a great tweet in the middle of this game. And he's like, Nick Kwiatkowski is going to get paid. And if you're the Bears, you'd probably love to pay him. But with all the problems you have on offense right now, it's looking like that's going to be hard to do. You can already see him wearing a Packer uniform.
Yeah.
And isn't he like the perfect Packer?
Yeah. I've been saying it for a long time. He is a starter in this league. Just happened to be behind two guys that were a tad bit better than him. You know, at some point, I would argue that Kukowski may have been better than those guys this season. And I think I'm being fair with that analysis.
Well, if you move on from Trevathan, you do have to come up with another.
Right, but again, like how much money are you going to commit to certain positions when you have to still figure out the most important position in all of sports? Price, length, what do you do at that quarterback spot? Like, I still believe your best case scenario is you hope that Mitch comes through, but you still can't go into the offseason thinking he's going to be your all and be all. You can't.
No, you can't. But like, if your next move beyond that is Marcus Mariota, because who still could get paid a decent amount of money too, or could be on a 1-year type prove it deal or something like that somewhere else. That's no given either.
No, the quarterback market, we all know, it's kind of crazy. It's kind of very unpredictable depending on what teams are involved. I mean, Nick Foles is getting paid an outrageous amount. Alex Smith, at his age, got paid an outrageous amount by the Washington Redskins. And his leg was cut off. Not literally, but you know what I mean. Like, it's bad. But he's part of the Bears evaluation, too. I guarantee you the Bears would love to have an Alex Smith brought back. He's like the perfect signing.
Yeah, if healthy, that makes a ton of sense.
Yes, like he is good enough to tutor Mitch and good enough to be your guy if you need him to be that guy. But you know what? He suffered a significantly damaging leg injury.
And even if he can come back and play at some point, he's not going to be the same mobile Alex Smith that he used to be.
No, and mobility is everything. These defenses are so fast today. I mean, your guy Afadi on that sack strip got around your starting left tackle, no problem.
And that's a 7th-round pick, too.
No problem.
You know, so these are the tough decisions. And, well, at least gives us plenty of fodder for the offseason.
Yes, plenty. Fodder is a great word.
But, man. All right, who do we want to hear from here? Matt Nagy or Mitch Trubisky?
I say Mitch Trubisky because this could be the last time we hear from him until OTAs.
That's a good point. Probably will be. Unless he does some kind of side interview somewhere or something like that, but at least at House Hall, certainly. All right, let's hear from the quarterback first. Mitchell Trubisky gets the win. Bears 8-8.
Mitch, what did it mean to you to lead the team down at the end to win?
It means a lot. I think it says a lot about the character and guys we got in the locker room, especially on offense. We just stuck together, believed, and put one last drive together, and I think it was important just to go out on the right note, and that was going down and scoring and putting our special teams and Eddie in a great position to kick that game winner. So it felt good. Obviously, we got a long way to go, but we just feel like we ended it the right way. Yeah, he ran a great route. He broke the guy off and kind of separated. I had to move outside the pocket a little bit because I saw him separating, so I just wanted to make sure I had enough time to get it to him. And he did a great job taking advantage of his opportunities today. He made a huge play in a big situation. So you don't want to be in that down distance necessarily on that last drive, but he did a great job getting open, making a big play for this offense, and he's done a great job.
Your off-season thing? You've been away for a while, or you get back?
Yeah, I think I'm going to get back at it pretty soon. I think number one thing is just getting healthy, getting the body right, feel better, get a plan with Coach Nagy and what all he wants me to do this offseason and kind of talk through that. So we'll figure it out within the next couple days, take a little time off. But it's, I mean, this is my life. It is, I love football. I can never get away from it from too long. So offseason starts now.
You mentioned getting healthy now that you're getting through. How much did you feel about it?
It was just one of those things. It was just one of those things. Could play through it, and I was happy to be out there with my guys. I didn't want to miss a game.
Mitch, David Montgomery's over 100 yards today. How have you seen him throughout the year?
Yeah, I thought he ran really hard, and David did a great job for this offense. Just, I mean, every yard, it just seems like he absolutely earns it out there, never wanting to go down, bouncing off guys. The first guy can never take him down by himself. He's just such a tough runner, and I think that just says a lot about him and just how he's battling through every single tackle, every single run. He's grinding out the yards, and it was big for this offense today, and it's going to be big for this offense going forward. So we just need to continue to get him going, let him do his thing, and O-line did a great job giving him some room today.
Allen Robinson came up too shy of 100 to get 98. What has he meant to you this year on the field day at Cardiff?
Yeah, it's huge. Wish we could have got him 2 more. 100 would have been pretty cool. But he's done so much for this offense and for me individually, just always being that safety blanket. You could throw to him whenever. We always say even when he's covered, he's not. Sure hands, great leader, absolute professional, leads by example, really helps those young guys and the whole offense, and just always someone you could rely on and an awesome teammate.
To find peace with the season and move on, what would you think about? What do you want to find some resolution about how things work?
I guess I'm just thinking about getting better for next year. What we can do. You got to look at the season. You got to be honest with yourself and with your teammates. And as a leader, you just got to make decisions that are best for you to get better. So I'm just going to be super honest with how the film looks and what we need to work on this off season and go from there. But just focused and determined on getting better for the future. And we got some special guys in the locker room. We just need to put it all together and see what happens from there. So it's just one day at a time, trying to get better, and just excited for next year, I guess.
When you look at what you've done last year's playoffs, last year, anything, what are you feeling about what this week?
Yeah, I feel like we're close. I feel like we're close. Like I said, I feel like we got the pieces. We just need to put it all together, and it's all about consistency, believing, outworking your opponents, playing smarter than your opponents, and just things that we can do on a weekly and daily basis to put ourselves in a better position to win. And because in the NFL, it's every week is so close between winning and losing. It's those inches and plays, and you never know which one they're going to be. So we just got to make sure that those plays go our way next year, so we're able to come out with more wins. And you got to find ways to get that edge in the offseason. So it'll be interesting to see what we do, see how guys improve themselves over the offseason, and I'm excited for next year. For example, just at the end, we're battling, and we could have easily just cashed it in, but we didn't. We never gave up all the way to the last minute. So we got guys who will battle, stick with you through thick and thin, and we make big plays in big situations. It's not easy to go down on a two-minute drive and put your field goal team in a position to go win the game. So I think you've seen flashes from this offense and from this team, but we're far from where we need to be. But I think we can get there.
In retrospect, what was the impact of the super high expectations of this offense, of you, of this team, as it turned out? What was the impact of that?
I don't know. We don't really talk about the expectations on the outside. We had more expectations for ourselves than probably you guys even did, but we didn't live up to our own expectations. So I guess you would say it's frustrating, but I mean, that's our goal for next year, to just continue to expect more out of ourselves, demand more of yourself and each other, and win more football games. So
did you ever win the locker room?
Nah, we were pretty lively. It's just when y'all come in the locker room, we just want a little more time till you guys invade our space. But I mean, we're all excited about the win, but we know we can be better overall. We're not going to the playoffs, so that's disappointing, obviously. So I guess maybe some guys are thinking about that, but I'm feeling good, excited about the win. And yeah, it's just we're quiet when you guys come in there because just we want our space.
You mentioned that, you know, 5 months ahead, what goes into getting on the same page with Matt and making sure that everybody gets this offseason together?
Yeah, for sure. Just constant communication. I talk to coach every day, and our great relationship is going to continue. And it's just doing exactly what he wants me to do and just put his vision that he has in his mind out into the field. And he's made me a better player over the past two seasons. And I just got to continue to be better, expect more on myself, and just continue to communicate with him so I can help lead this offense.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
And before people get carried away about Trubisky being too sensitive about us being in this locker room, I thought they looked jubilant. I thought they looked like...
Well, I don't think anybody cares about that but us.
Yeah, I know. Well, good. Well, you know, in this turn off the TV's hot take culture that we live in, you know, let's not let things get carried too far out of context. I understand where Shea Pepler is coming from. Some guys definitely weren't in the mood to converse, but there was some joking around going on in that locker room today. They should be happy. I thought Club Dub actually went on a little bit longer today than usual.
It did, but also, I mean, they kind of had the doors open at some point. I could see in there, and it did not seem as crazy as it has been in the past.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll have to wait for the video.
Yes.
Also, I know fans get upset that like they even do Club Dub.
Whatever. It's what they are. It's who they are.
That's Nagy's thing. They're going to celebrate every win. So hopefully next year they just have more of them to celebrate.
Yes.
That's the thing. I thought Allen Robinson had some interesting comments about how close this team could be to coming back and winning 12, 13 games. I think they genuinely believe that. And I think certainly you can just point to, okay, if you stay healthier on defense, come up with more takeaways.
Your quarterback goes from like the 28th passer maybe to like the 16th?
Well, that's like he got worse this year. So can he at least return to what he was last year? That's kind of depressing bar, though. I mean, really, he needs to be better than what he was last year. So the fact that he regressed this year, I think, is what's really so hard to swallow and what makes the job of Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy here so tough.
Well, particularly Matt Nagy, just in terms of soul-searching and finding solutions. Like, you were partly hired because of your connection with quarterbacks. And I like a lot of things that Matt Nagy has continued to do with this team. It did not go completely off the rails like we've seen here in Chicago before. The past two regimes, after like a year or two, you knew things were completely going awry. I don't think that's the case here whatsoever, but yes, I think better quarterback play will go a long way into helping this team out.
Well, and it also goes back to the system, too, and not to sound like a broken record, but Nagy absolutely has to take a long look at his playbook and figure out if they're going forward with Mitch Trubisky, what he can and cannot run, and what this offense should look like. Or do you go find the quarterback that can run what you want to run? I mean, that's what it goes back to.
But my question is, like who is that?
I don't know.
Like, people keep harping on bringing in the next guy. How many times have you gotten, like, the Andy Dalton suggestion?
That doesn't
Andy
work.
Andy Dalton is statistically worse than Mitchell Trubisky.
Even Nick Foles. Like, this crazy idea that the Jaguars could move on after just
signing you have
him.
To trade him.
Right. That's a trade and a lot of money that either the Jaguars eat, which means you got to give up more, or you pay for. But Nick Foles, there's no guarantee that's going to work.
Yeah, he gets bounced. Like, these guys get bounced around the league for good reason because they're not the guy. Like, the guy won a Super Bowl, and they still paid the other guy.
Right. And I still think that was the right move.
Yes. Again, like, I know it's more of a layered thing, but and I know maybe Nick Foles could be a step up for Mitch Trubisky. There's no guarantee of that. Again, the Bears' offensive problems are so layered, right? Like, Charles Leno getting beat up by your guy Afadi, or it's Cody White here winning a losing a one-on-one where his guy gets to Mitchell Trubisky almost immediately, nearly loses another sack strip fumble. Trubisky was lucky enough to recover it.
That was like, the one he got back,
Yes. It's so layered. The starters have struggled. Like, why is Anthony Miller in Week 17 still being corrected in terms of where he should be lined up by Allen Robinson on the field?
Also, his shoulder problems worry me going forward.
Yes.
Like, is that ever going to be corrected? Or is he always going to be somewhat limited by those injuries?
Yeah.
Because I think he has talent. I think he can be a solid number two. But if he can't be on the field, you got to be available, right?
What our old friend John Fox used to say, the best ability
is availability.
Is availability.
Man, he was so full of coach words. Remember the hallway that we used to walk through that's no longer there? Just covered in all those sayings?
Yeah. There was
and,
a lot of sayings.
And empty frames where the wins were supposed to go that never got filled up.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Now it's a little bit nicer in there.
Yes, it is.
A lot nicer.
I think that hallway is now like wide open. It's part of the cafeteria.
It is. All right, we still need to play the head coach.
Okay.
Here he is, Matt Nagy. Last time, last spin of the season, the head coach of the Chicago Bears.
All right, so I'll start off in regards to injuries. Cordarrelle Patterson is in the concussion protocol, and then Anthony Miller has a shoulder. So we'll get more details on that. So that was early on where both those happened, and that's it's kind of a little bit of a blow to you there personnel-wise. But our guys, the wide receiver room stepped up, and I thought that part was good. You know, big picture in regards to the game, these games aren't easy. I'm appreciative of the players and coaches fighting and till the very end, literally the very end. We have guys that fight. It's not where we want to be. It's not acceptable. We know that, but we're going to learn from this. And it could have been easy for them to do just that and not be fighters, but they did. So that's the positive of that. We'll learn a lot from a lot of other stuff.
How do you put this win in the proper perspective for those guys?
For our guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, just that was the goal. And the one thing I said to them in the locker room is being the parity in this league and being the fact that I don't care who you put out there on that field for the other team, those guys are playing hard. And it was, as you could see on 4th and 9 at the end of the game there, it was loud. And so it doesn't matter. What we're looking for is a reflection of ourselves as to how do we respond in those situations. And they did that. There's a lot of stuff that we can get better at in that game. But our guys, the mentality and the focus this week was a lot better than last week. And it's not easy to win on the road, and we did it.
The 4th down throw at the end, what did you see from your vantage point?
Riley was running a little corner stop route, and so Mitch got flushed out of the pocket, and that happens a lot, you know. And again, for some of the struggles that we had this week offensively, again in a game-winning situation, tough environment, Mitch made a play of scrambling outside, and then Riley getting into scrambling mode and turning it into a broken down play and making a catch, and so that 4th and 9, and then again the 3rd and 2 to chew up the clock there before we ended up kicking that field goal. I thought that those were two really big plays by our offense.
When you evaluate Mitch, how does that one play maybe stand out above the rest?
Sure. Well, they all matter. I can remember last year you guys asked me in regards to how do you evaluate a quarterback, right? And we talked about I talked about wins and losses. And all the other stuff, the stats, sometimes there can be false numbers. End of game, you're throwing 2 men and you throw for 350 yards and it's not real. But situational football in crucial times, I think Mitch has shown what he can do in those scenarios. He's done that over his career. We just want to make sure as we go through this thing that we really, really learn on all the other stuff, which is going to happen. You know, taking time on learning how to get better with everything that involves playing the quarterback position. On top of that, we want to do that, Ryan and myself as well, with a lot of different areas with the team, you know, offense, defense, special teams, and then we'll have a big focus on offense.
Man, I think Allen Robinson had 98 catches for the year.
98?
Yeah. Can we reflect on just the season he's had, given that there were struggles at times this year offensively, but it seems like he was the guy that really for the whole year kind of stood out.
You're right. He from the very beginning, he was the constant. Just he was always the same every game. You could rely on him on big catches, wherever that was, red zone, third down, end of game, 2 minute. But the beauty for me is, and the appreciation that I have as a coach is just the way I can't emphasize enough how great it is in the fact of how he handles himself away from game day. You know, and these wide receivers that we have, just to, for them to understand the importance of having a guy like him to see how to do it every day. And so when you transfer it to the field as a play caller and as a coach, it goes a long way. It means a lot. And I'm very appreciative of that.
How much of a positive was it for the way Eddie Pinheiro finished the season? What do you think you'll do for his conference? Especially after that little slump in the middle of the season.
Right. The slumps, again, are natural. I think making sure that we don't panic when you go through that slump is the most important part. Somebody just told me, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's made 11 in a row, his last 11. Is it 12? So, and then to make, what, four today? You know, for us, y'all know that was a huge, huge, big void that we had going into this year. I feel pretty good that void is filled, and I like the way we handled it in regards to the coaches, and I like the way that Eddie and his guys, just all in all. So I feel like that's a positive from this year.
You don't make roster decisions, but does a guy like Nick Bukowski look like someone that could start 16 games just the way that he seems to?
Yeah, that safety he made was big time. Now that was a big time hole, and not in a lot of space there, and he made a play, nice tackle. Again, to just go back to, I go to the appreciation of a guy that's a backup on a team that comes in throughout this whole year and is always very focused and had opportunities. He's a guy that took major advantage of opportunities given to him, and so as a coach that coaches him, I know his defensive guys, the appreciation factor is high, and so he's a talented player, and on a football team, you always want to make tough decisions. You know, that means that you have good players, and that's kind of where we're at.
What are you most looking forward to with this next phase when you get a chance to zoom out and figure out all of it? What are you personally looking forward to?
Yeah, so for me, it can't get here soon enough. For me, that 2020 starts right now, literally the second I walk off this stage. And I'll do it the right way. I'll get away just for a little bit from my mind, so that when I do get back on this thing, it's focused, it's clear and concise. But I'm ready to go in attack mode and figure out with Ryan how we want to go about this thing. And there's a lot of stuff that for us to look at. It's not one thing. It's all three phases, and that's our job. That's why we're here, is to do that. So it's a challenge. I accept it, and I'm looking forward to it.
What are the layers? Two more things in terms of personnel, scheme, all the things that go into those.
No, there's a lot. I mean, for me to sit here and talk about it right now is going to be hard, but that's not going to happen here in the next day. It's not going to happen in this next week. It's going to happen over time. But I think the biggest thing that we need to do is we need to create a plan for all that. And that plan does take a little bit of time for us. But in the end, Ryan and I will do what's best for our organization, and we're going to do it full steam ahead.
Matt, what's your message to the team there after the game? And what do you want them to be going into this offseason making?
So the message was, number one, I appreciate the fight all year long. We had a tough year. It was mentally challenging for all of us, but they fought through that. I like that. So I called them fighters. They're a bunch of fighters. And the message is that every year is always different. So regardless of it, next year is going to be completely different with completely different players. I hope that all of us understand, players and coaches, that what we went through this year, yet we need to turn that into a glass half full deal and learn from it. If you don't learn from it, then shame on you. You got to learn from it, and that's going to be our number one job, is to make sure each person does that.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you all. Take care. Happy holidays.
So, one small news item in there that I thought was relatively significant, yet not surprising, but said, quote, "I feel pretty good that void is filled," referring to the kicker position. So they feel pretty solid about how Eddie Pinheiro finished the season, kicked his last 11, right? Made his last 11?
Made the last 12, I believe.
12? Okay.
11 or 12.
Okay.
But pretty good.
Now, none of those were especially tough kicks. Well, yeah, really none of them were. None of them were like, wow, you just made a 50-yarder.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that since the Denver game.
Right. But I do think there's evidence in the NFL that you have to develop as a kicker.
Gonna have patience with the kickers.
Yes. And so I don't think the season was a disaster. He certainly went through a slump. I still would have some questions about how much I could trust him, you know, week one next season if you have to kick a 45 yarder to win the game. But they certainly made progress at that position, and I would stick with him going forward.
Yeah. Well, you're still going to bring somebody in to compete with him, but he is by far the front runner. He's a young guy. Give him an opportunity to secure a spot in the NFL. He still talked about, like, after the game today, he talked about still he had, like, soccer kicking tendencies to get through and stuff like that. Still developing. Obviously, he's got a strong leg. Now, I think Matt Nagy needs to learn to trust that leg a bit more, like 45 yarders, 46 yarders. You can't be scared of those. Not all the time. So, yeah, we'll see. It feels like such a long time ago that kicking circuit that the Bears put all those guys through. It seems like another life ago.
It really does. It was about 6 months ago. The other thing, and this is a good way to end, Matt Nagy saying 2020 starts right now, literally when I walk off the stage. And then he kind of caught himself and was like, yeah, I should probably take some time off too. Recharge the brain a little bit. But you can tell that I thought you could tell, you know, back to Shea's question to Mitch about, you know, not feeling like a win in the locker room. I thought Matt Nagy's press conference didn't feel like a winning press conference. You could tell there's still disappointment and an understanding that he's got a ton of work to do.
Yeah, well, it's one of those happy that you won, but this is awful that it's over.
Yeah.
Like feelings. That's what they are.
8-8.
8-8.
That'll do that to you. All right, well, it's been a fun ride here from all 16 of these this season, and we appreciate you listening throughout the way. We're not going anywhere. Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, more importantly, will have a press conference on Tuesday. There'll be locker room clean-out day Monday, press conference Tuesday. So we will have another two podcasts for you this week. But we do kind of get in the off-season. We're going to do our best to keep them as consistent, but we are juggling schedules here and there. So we'll have something for you on Tuesday, though, as that press conference happens. And the first time we'll hear from Ryan Pace in a non-radio pregame show interview.
Yes. Since
he talked to us?
I think week... Ooh. Are we after the...
Or did he talk before the season started?
He did that scrum on the...
Oh, yeah. He talked on the rooftop.
The patio rooftop deck at Hallis Hall.
It was actually nice before the season started. So right before the week... That was the week of the opener. So we have not talked to him since the week... the season started, so plenty to get to with the general manager, Ryan Pace. I know a lot of stuff you guys will probably want to hear. So there's plenty to come this week. Season's over, but we're not going anywhere. Follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, The Athletic, TheAthletic.com. Please go there and subscribe. Hogue, the code is... What is it? TheAthletic.com/HoganJohns is where
you can
still subscribe and get 40% off to read all the off-season coverage. How about that? All right. Hey, man, it's been fun.
Yeah. We're not done yet.
No, but the season's over. You know, when you're in this building, the season's over.
I feel like I went 14-2 this season.
Oh, really? So what were the two losses?
Oh, that's good. Could have brought my A game after...
A couple weeks ago, I remember you being like, I felt like I was tired during that podcast.
Oh, is that the one we did? It was the night game.
Was that the Chiefs game last week?
No. Dallas?
Maybe.
It was late. Yeah. Win for the Bears, lost for Adam Johns.
Unacceptable.
Yeah,
I feel like I went 13-3.
Okay. Now that's a way to end a podcast.
There you go. Talk to you later in the week.
See ya.
So take that and think about that for a little bit.